This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:11 and we're moving on to some of the priorities outlined in Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's speech yesterday. It was his first televised address to the nation as Prime Minister. Now, he specified that his immediate focus in terms of national policies are mainly the economy, education and health. Here's a bit of his speech.
Saya juga sedar, saudara dan saudari juga mahukan pendidikan yang berkualiti untuk anak-anak kita. Bidang pendidikan ini amat dekat dengan jiwa saya. Kerana saya pernah menjadi Menteri Pendidikan. Dan dengan pengalaman selama 6 tahun menjadi Menteri Pendidikan ini, saya berjanji akan berusaha untuk melonjakkan lagi kualiti pendidikan negara. Percayalah. Saya juga tahu bahawa saudara dan saudari mahukan sebuah negara yang stabil, negara yang aman dan juga negara yang makmur. Sebuah negara yang menawarkan kehidupan yang lebih baik untuk kita semua. Kerajaan pimpinan saya akan memberikan tumpuan pada pelaksanaan Wawasan Kemakmuran Bersama 2030 yang pastinya akan melonjakkan pertumbuhan ekonomi negara dan merapatkan jurang ekonomi dalam masyarakat.
So that was just a little clip from Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's first public address yesterday, in which he really laid out, I suppose, his version of events as well as where he plans to take the country. And some major thrusts came out of that. Not actual policy per se, it's early days yet, but there were, you know, statements of intent, really. So we've heard, of course, economy, education and health. In this part of the hour, we plan to talk about the word that just would not stop coming up, the economy. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we're going to be talking about education.
So that priority that he's mostly outlined is about rebuilding our country. And in terms of the economy, he wants to work towards achieving the shared prosperity vision 2030. And based on the speech, it'd be about tackling bread and butter issues like bills, being able to pay and afford for daily necessities, as well as dealing with loans.
Yeah, so a couple of major things going on here. But like we said earlier, policy-wise, no new surprises yet, especially compared to what was put forth by the previous government. The shared prosperity policy, of course, was designed by Pakatan Harapan last year in May. So at the moment, what we're seeing is a continuation of existing policies. But we thought that it was a good time while we wait to see what's actually going to happen in terms of establishing a cabinet, putting out policy. We're living in this space right now where anything can happen.
Limbo.
So yeah, we thought it might be good to put out a wish list because there are all these major concerns. And if we think about what's going on, what we plan to cover in this hour, education and economy, those are the two main things that everybody's been talking about anyway over the last 2 years, new administration or no.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'd like to hear your wish list, I think.
Yep, you can send that through WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, as well as call 7733-2900. What is on your wish list for the current Prime Minister in terms of the economy? You can let us know. In the meantime, we have with us Lee Hock An, Senior Fellow with the Malaysia Studies Program at the ICES Yusof Ishak Institute. Hock An, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good evening.
So the Prime Minister's immediate policy focus seems to be a continuation of existing initiatives from the previous Pakatan Harapan government, like the SPV 2030. Is this a surprise to you?
Oh, it's no surprise at all. I mean, I think, as you mentioned just now, these are early days. And in fact, this is his very first day in office. And as well, I mean, his appointment is not the result of an election, you know, that was riding on a particular manifesto, right? The coalition that overthrew Pakatan Harapan did not arise out of fundamental policy differences with its predecessor. And also, you call it the prime party, the prime minister's party in the coalition is the same. It's PPBM, and Shared Prosperity Vision was an initiative of PPBM. So, yeah, the continuity there is no surprise considering, you know, the kind of, it's been a political realignment, but not arising from policy differences. And the core issues remain the same. This is what people on people's minds and affecting themselves socially and economically, the cost of living, health, education. So, you know, those obviously merit commitment in the speech. As well, I think the Prime Minister wouldn't want to disrupt the civil service with anything, you know, drastic, and the rakyat in general will be thrown into some turmoil if there were drastic changes and U-turns mentioned at this point. I think it was acknowledged in the speech that there is, you know, public anger, there is frustration at the this political turmoil. So I think, you know, it's definitely wise to be treading cautious.
So in light of that, we did see an economic stimulus package very freshly launched by former Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. In fact, in the midst of all that uncertainty, that was when the announcement was made. Can we expect that to proceed, or do we think that perhaps changes might be made to it first?
I don't expect there would be also any drastic changes there. I mean, I think there is an urgency that's also acknowledged in the speech. So for, you know, the economic importance, the social importance of this stimulus package, it's not something that to be disrupted. And I think politically also, you know, it would be quite a terrible step to disrupt it. I think although allocations have been made, but the disbursement and award of contracts, I think, will be the next thing to roll out. And I think that will actually be an early test of its commitment, you know, to engage in a nonpartisan way, or I think certainly the commitments, you know, to combat corruption and good governance. So, and this is always a sticking point about the award of public contracts. So I'm not saying that there's any indication of how that will proceed, but it's certainly something I think that all of us, you know, would want to take an interest in how that rolls out.
And given that the economy is a priority, can we expect the role of, say, finance minister to be filled before the prime minister appoints the other members of the cabinet?
I think this is a similar situation to 2018 in terms of the suddenness, the abruptness of a new, you know, having a new prime minister. So I think there's some realities there in which this coalition was, you know, cobbled together on the fly, and it was, you know, rapidly unfolding events and dealing and new alliances being forged. So I think there's a lot to manage different interests and all the parties that are in this coalition. You know, in fact, the speech doesn't even mention the name, although Perikatan was, you know, all over the airwaves and conversations last week, but notably it's not even in the in this speech. So the overall cabinet, I think it's likely, you know, will also kind of roll out piecemeal, but there has to be a certain priority as well in that some of these key ministries, especially, you know, yeah, finance, I think in a similar fashion to May 2018, that will need to be filled, you know, that you need the decision-making authority there so that these core functions, core ministries and government departments can function.
And overall, I think, I mean, and this is me editorializing to a degree, I thought that the speech was, you know, delivered in a very reassuring tone, or a tone that was meant to convey, you know, that exact sentiment, especially about the economy and these areas that Tan Sri has said that his administration plans to focus on. So what kind of impact did his speech have, both in terms of foreign investor sentiment as well as, you know, local businesses and markets, that feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is adequate for now. I think everyone would understand that this is not a policy document, right? But, you know, just some fundamental and more general stances and where the Prime Minister stands. So it's probably adequate for now, and most would be in a wait and see mode, investors, and I think, you know, all of us in general. But we are also waiting for some very key next steps, right, for the cabinet appointments. And I think we can form better and clearer judgments then about how policies might unfold or where the priorities might actually be, or, you know, where we could see a more effective action being taken, and also the policy specifics. But on that note, I think there is one glaring omission about the institutional reforms. I mean, the speech does speak of a cabinet that is clean, you know, or cabinet members that would be clean with integrity and caliber. It speaks of integrity and governance, about combating corruption. But there's, it is short of an assurance that the institutional reforms, which was the distinctive and new contribution to the overall policy framework. And I'm referring to the midterm review of the 11th Malaysia Plan, so that was launched about a year and a half ago, so soon after Pakatan came to power. And I think a lot of the votes, and okay, certainly a lot of the urban electorate, were really hopeful for these institutional reforms. And it was the first time that it actually appeared, you know, in a whole segment, in a very substantive way in a Malaysia plan. And I think the hopes will be that will continue in the 12th Malaysia plan. But it was missing in this speech. So it's just something notable for now, I think.
And we've also been asking this question about what people might want to see on their wish list when it comes to economic policies. What would it be for you?
Yeah, I think I would firstly underscore about education, just to get on with it, right? There's been plans, and you know, some debates can continue, but I think with Tan Sri Muhyiddin referencing his experience in fact his most under the previous administration is as education minister, and the one who oversaw the drafting and launch of the Malaysia Education Blueprint. So he will be attuned to the issues, and as well as I think by now it shouldn't really be debatable anymore for the need to split two ministers, one overseeing education, primary, secondary, and higher. I think we have seen that it's just too much in our centralized and very complex system for the decisions to have to fall in the lap of one minister. And I think the neglect of the very major progress that we need in TVET, especially over the last 2 years, I think has suffered as a result of overburdened a single education minister. I would like to see also that there is some earnest and some more systematic grappling with the issues of equality and fairness, and how these all fit together, because we have, you know, this a lot of programs that are targeted at B40, that are about providing social assistance, and I think there is an adequate basis to guarantee and to provide all of these based on equality, and also to express what, you know, to give the assurances about rights of citizens that will be safeguarded. On the other hand, there's also a lot of other distribution that happens, right, that is more complex, where, and I think they're trying to couch it in terms of this rather very clumsy wording of equitability, but I still don't know what really that means. And I think if we can try to grapple with how to balance equality and fairness in terms of trying our best, right, to ensure an outcome that meets the needs of different groups, that I think will help to move us forward. I think a third thing I will add to that is about state government revenue. It needs to be diversified, and this is a very complicated issue and very difficult to implement. But you know, we have just seen of late the kind of degazetting of reserve land, which is, of course, there would be many factors involved, but I think it ultimately does trace back to the over-dependence of state governments on land-based revenue. So I think it's something that, you know, that I hope can be undertaken. It probably will need some bipartisan support, and maybe, you know, that can also be a possible signature gain that they try to achieve. I think one more, and I think going back to the issue of assuring equality and rights and fairness, I think it's especially important for this government to do, considering the composition of the MPs, which is ethnically disproportionate or much less than the previous government. And I think gender too, right? So, you know, let's not forget, we just had a first woman deputy prime minister. So the ethnic balance, and the gender balance that may not be there as much, I think it, you know, all the more the policies should articulate, you know, how, yeah, equality and fairness will be safeguarded moving forward.
Håkan, thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you so much for your time.
That was Lee Håkan, Senior Fellow with the Malaysia Studies Program at the ICES Yusof Ishak Institute, talking to us about the new Prime Minister's economic priorities. Now, Håkan also recently released a book called The Defeat of Barisan Nasional, Miss Science or Late Surge, which he co-edited with Francis Hutchinson. And in the meantime, you can, of course, continue letting us know what is on your economic wish list. You can call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. And actually, we have been receiving some ideas on what they might want.
Yes, although, generally speaking, the tone has not been so much focused on the economy as it has been on less tangible things. So here we have Raj, for example, saying, please focus on character building, especially honour, integrity, kindness and respect in view of the recent collapse of the value system in this country. And similarly, sort of, we have Jessica who's saying, my wish list would be protection and respect for minorities and the removal of colloquial laws. So I think there is a genuine sense of concern here for the state of affairs in our country, the state of the way Malaysians relate to one another, and how in the by-elections in particular, but also in general discourse, we've seen politicians in the past play that up. And so I think that has left us feeling perhaps a little bit bruised and hoping for a bit more guidance or a bit to see a better example being set up top.
Yep. So again, if you want to let us know what is on that wish list, whether it's about economy or education or actually about what you just want to see this government achieve, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.